This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, June 18th, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. Senate Bill 116, which Governor Polis is expected to sign into law, bans Native American mascots at public schools in Colorado as of June of next year. To avoid a $2,500 monthly fine, Montrose High School as well as Centennial Middle School will change their mascots. Montrose High's current mascot is the Indians. A totem pole is still prominently displayed on the football field. The mascot for Centennial Middle School is the Braves, with a logo of a Native American man wearing a headdress. 24 schools across Colorado that still feature indigenous mascots will be affected. They can apply for state-funded grants to finance the mandated changes. Montrose School District spokesperson Matt Jenkins says selecting a new mascot will be a community effort over the course of the next 12 months. Counting the number of school children in poverty is a critical part of a district's bottom line. Districts receive around 12% additional federal funding per at-risk student and up to 26% more funding if they have a particularly high population of students from low-income homes. But the Colorado Sun reports due to COVID, two things happened during the pandemic that have skewed the count. Remote learning made it hard for families to submit applications for free lunches, and the federal government enabled districts to serve free meals to all students, regardless of their family's income. Free lunch applications are the sole metric for determining a school district's number of low-income students. A legislative interim committee on school finance was formed during the last legislative session to look at the issue. In a victory for civil rights, a federal court has ruled that the filming of police in public is protected by the First Amendment. The finding from U.S. Magistrate Judge Nina Wang comes 3 months after the appellate court based in Denver explicitly avoided saying whether the U.S. Constitution granted the right to record police, even though other federal courts of appeals have answered the question in the affirmative. The Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition reports that the case stems from a suit in Lakewood when a Lakewood police officer blocked two men from recording a traffic stop. Despite the new ruling, that particular officer may not be sued because at the time of the incident, no judicial decision had clearly established that right. A former Ridgeway doctor has agreed to never practice medicine again or apply for a license in the U.S. and to pay back Medicare funds he received while practicing without a license. Dr. Dave Sherwood, who practiced medicine for 22 years in Ouray County, failed to renew his license in 2017. The Ouray County Plain Dealer reports he continued to treat patients and prescribe drugs. The Department of Justice signed a settlement agreement with the former doctor, who continued to file claims with Medicare for reimbursement after his license expired and now must repay up to $40,000 in damages and penalties. COVID vaccination rates have plummeted in Mesa County in the face of rising numbers of infections due to the Delta variant first identified in India. According to Mesa County Public Health's COVID-19 dashboard, as of Monday, only 38% of the county's residents have been fully vaccinated. Now, the agency is expanding vaccination operations to encourage citizens to get inoculations. They're offering on-site vaccination clinics at job sites. Employers of any size can request a vaccination event free of charge in Mesa County. They're also partnering with multiple large events in the area to provide on-site clinics. And Ride the Rockies rolled into Ouray County on Wednesday. However, due to a member of the event's catering crew testing positive for COVID, the caterer reportedly pulled out, leaving over 2,000 participants to rely on local options for dinner with little warning to staff up or order extra food. Restaurants in Ridgeway were overrun, according to locals who notified KVNF News. Governor Jared Polis signed a $5.4 billion transportation bill into law yesterday under a bridge along I-70, where many Coloradans get stuck in traffic on the way to the mountains. Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has the story.
Drivers who travel the interstate near Floyd Hill could soon benefit from a $700 million renovation project in the area. But to help raise that money, the bill requires Coloradans to start paying several new fees next year at the gas pump, on deliveries, and for ride shares. Jonathan Godez is mayor of Glenwood Springs. He says the funding will be particularly helpful for his community.
Every time there's an accident on one of these hairpin turns on I-70, it hurts our economy. Every time there's a rock slide in the Glenwood Spring or Glenwood Canyon, it hurts our economy.
Godez is also excited about new road funding for rural areas around the state. Most Republican lawmakers opposed it, saying new fees should be approved by voters first. I'm Scott Franz at Floyd Hill.
Now that the town of Paonia has in hand a draft report about the hydrological system, the Advisory Water Committee for the trustees is working to prioritize remedies for long-standing problems with the town's water. Kate Redmond has this update.
The town of Paonia's water is fed by over two dozen springs high above the town at the base of Mount Lamborn. Capturing and delivering that water can be like gathering it into an apron. JDS, the company contracted to produce the water study, says the system is one of the most complex in the state. One problem the town is having is that when gravity pulls the water down the delivery pipes, its velocity can create problems for the pressure valves. Here's Tammy Meck, town trustee and chair of the Advisory Water Committee.
It is a relatively small system that covers a very big area and has a fairly steep drop in elevation. Sometimes the water will get moving pretty quickly through those pipes and those pressure valves. The PRVs sometimes aren't working correctly. In fact, as it's stated in the study, several of those valves are not working correctly at this time. That can mean that the water comes through too quickly and can create what's called a hammer. And that hammer puts a lot of pressure on the pipes, can crack them and break them. And that's one of the reasons we have a lot of leaks, especially, what was it, in 2018, the town had hundreds of leaks.
The Advisory Water Committee met Wednesday night to address multiple problems. JDS still does not have all the data they need to complete the study. Here's J.P. Starnes, representative of the hydro company.
You have great demand data. I am confident that we can collect historical records on that. On the production side, though, because the lower plant was offline, some of the water from the springs was being spilled on the mountain and not brought into the plant. So all of those numbers are just spilling into that overflow that you have into the creek down below. With both plants online, with influent flow meters on all the springs and no intentional spilling upstream of the plants, I think going forward, we'll begin to be able to start collecting information that you guys can use.
Despite the multiple challenges, the committee is moving forward with a list of remedies to the water system with the goal of understanding exactly how much capacity there is to know if the water tap moratorium can be lifted. Here's Phil Seriani, Advisory Water Committee member, on his map forward.
My shopping list would be, number one, trying to get a grant to fix our PRV stations. I mean, we have a fragile system and water hammers are killers. My second agenda item would be to address the meter problem in town, upgrade software, possibly our wireless meter. My third assessment would be to try and get some raw water modeling. We have quite a bit of data on the distribution system, but honestly, we don't know where a lot of those straws that are in the mountain up there, we probably don't know where a lot of that stuff is. And I suspect a lot of leakage in the systems on the raw water side.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
If you missed Kate's previous story on Paonia Water, go to kvnf.org from June 10th. That does it for Friday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.